This is New England Public Media. I'm Kari Njeri. Public health officials have been warning for months about the potential risks to children's social and emotional well-being during remote schooling. Now, doctors in Springfield are increasingly concerned as youth mental health cases rise in clinics and emergency rooms. New England Public Media's Ben James has this story about doctors and teachers and the teenagers they're trying to help. Please note, this story contains discussion of suicide.
Across the country, there are middle and high school teachers begging their students to turn on their Zoom cameras. You can read their angst-ridden posts on Twitter and Facebook. I can hear their pleas coming from the laptop in my 14-year-old son's bedroom. He rarely turns on his camera, by the way. One high school teacher I've been keeping track of is Daniel Theombiano. Connecting with challenging students is what he does. That's his thing. Not this year.
I've had some students who, you know, will not even turn on their cameras. You can imagine teaching someone you perhaps have never seen. You do not even know if there's someone on the other end.
Theombiano teaches ninth grade earth sciences at Holyoke High, where most students are still attending class remotely. He says he has five students who've had family members die of COVID in the last month. Some parents are dealing with food insecurity and unemployment. The strain on students is palpable.
One key symptom of such stress and an onset of depression, really, is a total lack of self-motivation.
During one of our interviews, Theombiano received a call from the parent of a student in the midst of a panic attack. He describes some students as bombarded with so many issues they simply cannot perform academically. Then he introduced me to ninth grader Lily Nieves. She is not one of those students.
Me personally, I suffer from depression, and my depression sometimes gets the best of me, and I'm not in the best mood sometimes, but like I have to try putting that behind me and push myself to do this because this is high school, it's different.
Nieves says some aspects of remote school actually make it easier for her to push herself, and she does turn on her camera.
I have insecurities myself. I really do, but I have to, like, put myself out there in a way.
But an unusually high number of students aren't managing to rally.
The student that just stops is our biggest concern.
Stephen Mahoney, former principal at Holyoke High and now an administrator for the district. He says he's concerned about a rise in students who are, in his words, moving out of formal education.
A lot of our students went out and got jobs. We have more students trying to balance work, family, and school than ever before.
Economic stress, the tedium of remote school, disconnection from friends. These are all of tremendous concern to Dr. John O'Reilly, Chief of General Pediatrics at Bay State.
We're starting to see more of mental health issues that are coming out of this sense of social isolation, issues of school disruption, and issues of disruption with peers.
O'Reilly says physicians at his Springfield clinic are seeing a sharp increase in somatic symptoms in younger kids, things like stomach aches and headaches with no clear cause. Teenage mental and behavioral health issues are also up. Anxiety, sleep problems, substance abuse, and self-harm.
So for an adolescent, their social peer group is critical to their social-emotional development. A lot of adolescents will have a fight with their parents and then go to their friend's house and complain about their parents or complain about their siblings.
That complaining is a good thing. But without school and other places to meet friends,
those conversations that were happening in person are not happening.
For some teenagers, the pressure just keeps building. Ellie Dutoy is coordinator for Mobile Crisis Intervention, which serves youth for the Behavioral Health Network. She says her doctors are seeing suicide attempts from kids who are isolated and struggling with online learning.
When I see numerous children coming in having made an attempt on their life because of how isolated and lonely they're feeling, that to me feels really scary. As scary as a virus in some ways.
Dutoy says crisis physicians are seeing Black and Latino kids at higher rates. They're also seeing increasing numbers of lesbian, gay, and transgender kids who she says are feeling really isolated.
Particularly if they're coming from homes where their families aren't necessarily accepting of their identity, where they've always accessed that support through school, through their peers, through teachers.
And this is why you have teachers literally begging their students to turn on their cameras. Sure, they have lessons to teach, but more often it's because teachers know what's at stake when a teenager fully disengages from school. Some teachers are shifting their lessons, trying to make stronger connections with their students.
There's a lot of things that I would have considered silly that I've been doing this year because I feel like kids are just in such a challenging place emotionally.
Sarah Banning teaches 10th grade English at the Springfield Renaissance School, which remains entirely remote. In one assignment, students wrote instructions on how to make a peanut butter sandwich, and then, over Zoom, she followed their directions to the word.
Some kids would be like, put the peanut butter on the bread, and so I would take the peanut butter and just place it on the bread, and I'd be like, did I do it right?
Her students cracked up as she literally scooped the peanut butter out of the jar with her hand.
My, grounding principle has been joy.
Renaissance is a magnet school that says it has managed to get 90 to 95% of their students on camera almost every day. There are a lot of factors involved in that success. Team teaching, strong student support, consistent expectations from class to class. And when students turn their cameras on, Banning says, it sends a message.
Like, you are present, you are here, like, we can see you, or we can see most of you, like, we know who you are. I mean, kids hate structure, but they also love and crave structure.
One reason students can be hesitant to turn on their cameras is because they share their workspace with siblings. That's the case for 10th grader Madison Nicholson Franklin, one of Banning's students. Here on Zoom, she's answering a question about remote learning from me when she gets interrupted.
Because we're not in class. She went to work. And even if we are...
Nicholson Franklin is a dedicated student. She's psyched about Ms. Banning's open writing assignment on Maya Angelou's poem, Still I Rise. But this learning from home situation is tough.
It's hard for me to focus. It's hard for me to get my work done. I know, it's just hard. And another thing that's hard is having motivation.
Focus and motivation. Many kids in remote school are struggling with these right now. Still, Ellie Dutoy from the Behavioral Health Network says caregivers should be on the lookout for unusual behaviors from their kids.
If you're noticing that your child is suddenly eating less, sleeping all day or up all night, having that reverse sleep schedule is a big sign. If they just seem shut down.
These are all warning signs. And the first step, Dutoy says, is to reach out to the child's pediatrician. Looking to the future, Bay State's John O'Reilly says based on the science of COVID transmission, he believes elementary schools throughout the region should be open this spring. Middle and high schools, he says, may have to wait a bit longer. And while it'll be a while before most kids can get vaccinated, he has this message for parents.
Get the vaccine as soon as you can. Get the vaccine done so your kid can start school in September, because your kid needs to be in school.
Ninth grader Lily Nieves agrees. She wants to be in school, but it's not only so she can get back to in-person classes.
I want to interact with people that I don't know, and I could possibly become friends with them.
That thing that teenagers do best. For New England Public Media, I'm Ben James.
Help is available for those in need. The number for the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255 or online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.